This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
I went to Tanzania and did a political joke, and the room just went quiet. Yeah. Like, you could feel the tension in the room.
Yes, yes.
Then I just went back to dating jokes.
What do you think are some of the challenges that creatives in Kenya usually face when they put out their creative work out there?
Ideally, if you own the masters, you own all of those at its core.
What happens if you're not able to create all these musics and you've already taken the money? So, welcome to The Creative Hustle, the podcast that gives you an inside look at Kenya's dynamic creative industry. Today, we are diving into the legal side of the industry, a crucial aspect of every creative who's ever put out their creative work out there. So, and today, we are joined by Anthony Ngashira, alias Ty, who is a lawyer in the creative sector. So, welcome, Ty.
Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So you're going to take us through the legal aspect of the creative industry.
Yes, yes, yes.
And before that, I would like you to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
I know that is the most difficult thing for anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm going to help you. So I know that you're not only a lawyer.
Yes.
You're also a comedian.
Yes.
So perhaps just tell us more about that.
As you say, my name is Ty Ngashira, and I wear many hats because I think Nairobi does that to you. And also, when you have many interests, it's good to dabble once in a while. And as you grow through life, you generally, it's the metamorphosis around who you are as a person, right? And I'm a lawyer. That means I studied law at its core. But also, I'm a creative because I work in the creative sector. Like, and that is, I work as a comedian. I've worked in TV. Kidogo, radio, kidogo tu, like guza, but I always had a thing for media, but my parents made me do law. And so here we are, yeah.
So have you ever practiced law?
No. Actually, what happened after I left school, I went into policy work. I went to NGO work. So I did a lot of policy and governance work. So that was, I used to do a lot of civic education, a lot of public participation fora. So with the counties, that's why I had to basically read a lot of complicated things and try and break it down as simple for people as possible. Mm-hmm. So I'd been with miners in Migori telling them about the new mining law. I'd been Eldoret telling guys about how to do budgets and how to do how to engage the county government. So basically, it's even what I'm doing now with creatives, it's basically that. Like, people, there's policy, there's authorities, there's all those things. But they still, so what does this mean for me? Yeah.
All right. So I've seen that you had a show on NTV.
Yes.
It's too much information, isn't it?
Yeah, with Ty.
So just tell us about how was your experience with that show?
It was very good. It was a political satire show. Mm-hmm. And it married the things I was doing at the time very well. Stand-up comedy and policy and governance. So it was it meshed what I was doing very well. Also, I got training for writing for TV and satire from the guys who wrote for The Daily Show. So it was a very big deal because it helped me, because I was used to just writing jokes for haha, but now you're being taught people have to laugh thrice a minute. So I'm writing in a minute, I'm writing minute beats. I'm learning how to use camera work to make things more comedic, how to use sound, and all those things, and also an international way of, an international standard of how a show should be run. So mm-hmm. It was a very eye-opening thing for me.
So what do you think about the future of such shows?
Satire shows?
Yes.
I feel as Kenya has the potential because we have a lot of freedom of expression, generally speaking. But we don't have enough satire shows, generally, at all, if I'm being honest. Because a lot of Kenyans follow the news and Kenyans make fun of the news, but you don't have enough satire shows at all. I think you guys had a couple of them and then you decided you're done. Yeah, so the only comedy people are willing to put on is very safe. Yeah, so I don't know whether people are afraid of being defunded or...
I've actually seen a couple on YouTube.
Yes, that's fair enough. I'm talking about a mainstream one because if you go social media, mm-hmm. what if a mainstream station takes it gives it credibility. Then you can also put it on social media. Otherwise, yes, there are like my friend Justine Wanda, she does a fake work with Justine. The Time Crazy Canada tried doing some political satire, but we don't have a consistent like news satire show that's happening. And I think the potential is there. And I think the person who gets it, the station which gets it, will get it proper. But until then, we might just have to wait for the visionaries.
Yeah. Just going off on a tangent.
Yeah.
Like what as a lawyer, what do you think are some of the legal exposures that you get when actually you're doing satire?
One is defamation. You put your advertisements for defamation. If someone says the information giving is not accurate, and so you have to make very sure this is a part of the show and it is made for fair use. Another thing that you could be exposed to, per se, is intimidation, threats. But I think Kenya, we have a healthy enough democracy. We have our problems, mm-hmm. but our democracy is healthy enough for us to do a satire show. I mean, everyone, everywhere you hear someone just making fun of. I went to Tanzania and did a political joke, and the room just went quiet. Like, you could feel the tension in the room.
Yes, yes.
Then I just went back to dating jokes. So, like, Kenya, the we have our freedom of expression is always under threat, but we always need to push that to keep going. Like, Morara was arrested that day for saying "Kufa dereva kufa makanga."
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, and then now what? So it mostly exposes you to one to criminal liability with regard to defamation, or you could be told you're using the Communication Act. Also brought out some other charges for maybe you're using broadcast material in a bad way. But mostly for media houses, maybe the biggest thing would be loss of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be the biggest thing. But other than that, those threats are imagined.
All right. Well, since we've already started on the legal aspects,
yeah.
I think we just gonna dive in.
Yeah.
So what do you think are some of the challenges that creatives in Kenya usually face when they put out their creative work out there?
Especially
the legal challenges.
Yeah, I think first of all, legally speaking, I'd like to just say that every section of creatives have very different needs. You see, the way I'll talk to a photographer is not the same way I'll talk to an actor. You know, the same way I'll talk to a musician, because their needs are widely different. Generally speaking, I think for them to understand that their creative work is an asset, like land, you see, and it needs to be protected. You see, I think inherently they understand that I don't want someone to take this from me. But the biggest challenge is first the understanding that this is an asset and this is protected by law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that engagement of just the acknowledgement of, oh my God, some guys will leave shambas for their kids, others will leave rental apartments. But all over the world, people are leaving royalties to their family for the next 60 years. So like, see, mnakulanga nini tunakulanga wimbo ya babangu. You know, or people are selling paintings worth millions, you see. And I think for us to understand that that creativity is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it also comes from a place of how we were raised, where the creative was the child who you gave up on. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even now there's a respect for creatives, but not to the place where at a legal level creatives properly understand just how hard, how much they need protection for their work. Yeah.
So how do you protect your work? How do you attain a copyright for, let's say, if you put out a creative work?
Yeah. So first of all, I need to say that copyright is just one of the ways people protect their work, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are very many other ways you can protect your works. There are patents, there are trademarks, but for artists specifically, it mostly falls on copyright. For inventors, we can talk about patents, but for artists, that's visual works, musical works, literary works, sound recordings. Those ones mostly it falls down to, that's a copyright matter, right? The idea, expression in the film, in the script, so first thing, it's important to understand that your idea itself is not protected. It's the expression of the idea that has been protected. Mm-hmm. Two, just by producing, you have copyright of it. But it is very recommended that you register the copyright. If you feel you have a thing that's really good, mm-hmm. just go to there's copyright.gov, like Kakobo. You enter, click, it's very simple. There's a form you'll fill out and then register as yours in case you ever need to prove anything in mm-hmm. court, right? Mm-hmm. So at its core, it's yours at the beginning.
Yes.
But now the way the world is changing is say, allow me to use a musician as an example, yeah?
Yes, yes.
If I'm a musician today and I want to go produce and I want to go get a song, right? There are very many elements that go into a song, right? If it's a big, if I work for a record label, right? Mm-hmm. There's a contract we've signed with them about what this means. Mm-hmm. But at a very basic level where, hi, my name is, I want to produce a song, I meet a producer. The law recognizes very many different people over there. There's someone called the songwriter. There is the person who has composed, like brought different beats. There's a person who is performing, the person whose voice is there, you see. So the song has different elements to it. A producer is also, will, might say, ata mimi iwi mboni yangu, you see. Mm-hmm. So depending on what you guys talked about when it was starting. And if you're a musician and you want to go produce or start a song or whatever it is, there's a document called a split sheet. So split sheets are agreements between you, the producer, the record label, on who owns what part of the song. You see? So some, if the person who owns the original part of the song, something we call the masters.
Yes, yes.
The masters is the original version of the song. The that finished recording, the original one, when it has been, before any copy is made, that one, if you own, whether it's in a physical copy.
It's actually, the masters is basically what we hear, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. It's what we hear. It's that, whether you can hold it in physical form or whatever, that's what I behold my masters, you see.
Okay.
So the thing is, practice-wise, what happens is most production houses end up owning the masters,
okay,
right? So I'd advise artists to negotiate around their masters a lot. You should own part of it or you can buy it all, yes. And this is easier in Kenya right now because we don't yet, we're not, too many people are not, unless you're very established as an artist, producers are generally willing to give you your masters because they don't believe in your song.
Yes.
But if you start getting like better and better, now producers will start holding closer to your, they'll start negotiating harder for you. Eh? An example was, I think Nyashinski is in court right now.
Mm-hmm.
Over a certain song they did with some telco and
Watch,
right? And
yeah.
I think it's techno. I could be wrong, so please do not quote me on these ones. Mm-hmm. With regard to the parties, but his producer was saying, "I also own part of that song, right?"
Yes,
and
the publishing rights.
Yeah.
Actually.
So what? Now I think now you've taken me somewhere. Now when a song has been produced, there are a lot of rights that accrue to a song, right? There's basically something we call a distribution right, right? Who has the right to take it all over the world, like to sell it to people.
It basically.
To sell it to people, right?
Yes.
Who has the right to showcase it? Whose YouTube channel is it on?
Okay.
Is it the production channel? Is it my YouTube channel?
Mm-hmm.
Two, there's, now that's when we start calling, what Nyashinski was having was something called a licensing matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Licensing will involve, I can give out my music for it to be used for other profit purposes. See, so there's something called synchronization, right?
Yes.
I can give you just a song, ukuo naimba tu
kitembea,
for your, tuseme nauza vitu hapa chini,
mm-hmm.
then like a watch.
Yes.
So Justin can come and charge me for using this song, yeah?
Yes.
But the moment I start putting it like in an ad, I start adding other elements to it, now like techno did, now that's a synchronization license.
Okay.
You see, something similar happened with Sauti Sol and Azimio,
yes,
when they used campaigns. when they were campaigning, and Azimio said, "Hey," and Sauti Sol were like, "No, we gave you an audio license. You could have used our songs during campaign. I don't know, we're getting paid."
Yes.
But the moment you made it into a campaign ad, now that's a synchronization license. Now you need to pay us. So there's level of rights that you give someone.
Yes.
You tell them, "Hey, listen. Yes, you can listen to my song in the club, and that's fair." Then there's, okay, now you can listen to, you can buy my song to promote something. That's fair. The moment you start including it in music, in a movie, in a, that's a different license altogether. That's a synchronization license.
So now, as a creator,
yeah,
when you're doing this, do you need like a document, a whole document that has all these things, and say, I do, you agree with your producers,
yeah,
and everyone, and tell them,
yeah,
that I own everything in terms of distribution,
yeah,
rights, all these rights.
Ideally, if you own the masters, you own all of those. At its core, but producers will sit down with you and tell you, okay, I'm giving you the beat for this song. It's an exclusive beat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also a maker of this song. The songwriter will tell you, no, I did something here. The guy you collabed with will tell you, I'll spit a few verses here. Ata yangu ndio nashuka, ni mimi nasema shook them umbwa. Right?
Yes.
So the split sheet is our discussion of who owns what parts of the song,
mm-hmm,
and who owns what rights to the song. Right? Masters can be partly owned. Rights can be partly owned. and rights and licenses can be traded. You see? So what I'm, for artists is, if you're going to give something up, get money for it. You see? If you're giving us a synchronization license, and we've agreed with the producer, this is my synchronization license, you need to get, you can still be paying the producer all that money, and then they still get that far. You see?
Yes.
So, if you're in a, if, but if you're signed to a record label, now that's a different
they
issue.
Actually own all the rights.
Yeah, because what they do, they mostly front you a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
and then now you owe them. Now you pay them
you're
back.
You're paying them back.
You're paying them back with your rights and licenses. Like you're paying mm-hmm. them back with, they have deliver your music, they're the ones who are going to distribute it on your behalf, they're the ones who are going to get synchronization licenses on your behalf. So they're making the money from your music because they give you, say, I go, let's say, like Ogopa DJs, right?
Yes, yes.
I go to Ogopa, I do a song, and then, okay, that's different because they're production. Let's say Universal Music, right?
Yes.
Universal
yes.
Music call me and say, we want to sign you as our latest guys. And mm-hmm. And you have a beautiful voice. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So we are fronting you 10 million,
mm-hmm.
right? How many people will say no to that 10 million? Right?
You're taking it very fast.
Yeah, but now the contract will now say that your next three albums are on us. Not only on us. The money we make yes. is coming to us instead. You have to pay off your
It's like a loan.
It's like a loan. So for Kenya, we don't have a lot of people in record labels. Most of the time, we have independent artists.
I think we have seen it in Tanzania.
Yeah,
Wasafi does that a lot.
Yes, yes.
So what happens if you're not able to create all these musics and you've already taken the money?
Yeah,
you're not able to create this music. What happens now?
As a lawyer, I advise you is make it non-predatory. Get into deals where both parties benefit. I think the problem we have is everyone is just trying to scam everyone, mm-hmm. and that's a very bad space to find yourself in. So one thing is talk to other artists, find out the mistakes they made, right? Because also as a lawyer, the thing is, the problem is not just artists who don't understand the law. The problem is also a lot of lawyers don't understand the market, right? Like we know the legalese, we know your rights, we know everything, but we don't understand the practice of that. Of your market, right? Because
mm-hmm.
maybe I'd deal in Lamashamba. So come on, let's take a contract. We can go to court and I can help it for you. But at protective lawyering, like before you even go there and you come to me, if I don't understand what your needs are as an artist, if I don't understand that you're worried about your performance rights, you're worried about what about people who are doing covers on my behalf? Will I get them? What about people who are, you know? So now all those issues, if I don't understand them for you, I can barely help you.
So basically just get the right lawyer.
Yeah.
Get the lawyer that actually deals with creative.
Yes,
the creative works. And
yes, it does. But on the other hand, we have a Kenya Copyright Tribunal also offer some seminars to creative artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're out there online, Strathmore School also offers some courses for artists. And I feel if you're an artist, just go and find out about the legalese of it. And the information is available out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get on Google and look for music creative lawyer. I'm sure one will come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can just call me.
So yeah. let me ask you, in terms for a creative,
yeah.
is it advisable for them just even to draft a contract first, a lawyer to draft a contract before they even start working on anything? Isn't
it? That's why it's called protective lawyering. Creatives make money mostly by one, if you're a musician, that is. Streaming. So who's in charge of that distribution, right? Two, performance, right? So now that's a different issue altogether. Performance is dealing with people out there who, now the song is yours, we know that, no one is stealing from you, but they want to see you on stage. Sindio? The problem is you did a collab with an artist, he's one who does all the performances on your behalf. So you need to have a producer cannot perform on your behalf. So generally, performance rights are generally yours most of the time. Mm-hmm. The problem is now when you guys did a song together.
Okay.
And you can imagine where upcoming artists do a song with an established musician. Theirs becomes the bigger, the better verse, but the established musician travels the song more.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So we have that challenge that's big. So always agree on performance rights of a song. Sindio? So performance aspects. Now, if you'd allow me to move to performance, right?
Yes, yes.
A lot of artists have problems when they go to perform and things are not as they should be. Now performance contracts are very different from copyright contracts. Now, they're like, we know the song is yours, come and perform for us. You're the brand ambassador for what? Now, come perform. Now, as an artist, there are some rights. If you're a manager of an artist, if you're a lawyer for an artist, there are things you need to include for your artists to make sure they do well. One of them is setting a minimum standard of the sound quality, the performance quality. What you're telling them, if this is not
because met, this is your brand,
if this is not met, my artist is not going to perform.
Yes,
you see.
Yes,
time slots as well.
Yeah,
you're telling them, if you don't, I can't come and you push me to a time slot at 4 a.m. and this happens. You see, if something outside of my control happens, I want to be indemnified from. So you need to indemnify the artist. To say, even I perform at your venue, watu wakipigana, sawa, nimeenda kwa maudi. So, bugigenzo wakikuja wakuja na crew yao, watu wapigane, I should not be held liable for your lack of security. But on the other hand, organizer should say, make sure you're not the one who changia to this. Ati wali ambia watu, vunjeni kila kitu! You see? And then there are things which can go like, something we call acts of God. I don't know, lightning struck the stage that day and I could not perform, or there was COVID. So
is there a type of insurance for that?
For you see, but that one is for, that's for the organizer, not for you.
Okay,
you just need to get paid. Yes. If I was just sitting and being the lawyer for event organizers, now we would talk about there is insurance for all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But generally, there is.
So, looking at like creatives who are. Creating stuff on TikTok,
yeah.
on Instagram,
yeah.
on Reels.
Yeah.
What happens if someone decides to take that content,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you've already published it out, mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. and you do, let's say, I think there's this thing that where you can actually use someone's voice.
Yeah.
But imagine a scenario where a corporate mm. decides to use that voice.
Yes.
To advertise a product,
yeah,
and it's actually allowed in the platform.
Yeah,
I don't know what is really called. Is it?
Yeah, Stitch.
Yes, yeah, Stitch.
Yeah.
So in a scenario like that, a corporate decides to stitch your content.
Yeah.
How can you can you claim some money from them?
First of all, it's that idea of yours original.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an original copyrightable idea? Right. If you are just singing along, maybe it's the musician who should sue. But it's a sound recordings are protected by copyright. Because it's a sound recording for you. And if someone is going to make profit off it, if it's just for fair use by joining TikTok, allowing people to just play with it, that's on you. Because in the terms and conditions, kunaile, do you allow, la, 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 la.
Yeah.
Yes, right? But if a corporate comes and now takes that for you, you can actually write to them and tell them, hey guys, this you're using my sound recording, you're using my copyright work, and then you send me my money. Run me my money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they don't, now you can now go either to the Kenya Copyright Authority. They're a quasi-judicial organ where you can, before we go to court, can we sort this out? So then they'll tell you, okay, this is what you guys did, so let's take this out. You see? Yeah.
So now, just still on the topic of creatives on TikTok, and these are just normal people. Most of the time, the guys who are creating on TikTok are just normal guys playing around with their phones, and they end up being famous.
Yes.
So you find in most cases that corporates still use these guys as to advertise, as influencers.
Yeah.
So in a case where your likeness is taken to, you're asked to do an ad,
yes,
let's say for a Unga product.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that you need to consider in your contract?
If you're what you're calling just a normal guy who was called today and told we need you to do this and that. So first of all, just understand your normal guys are over. Your normal guy days are over. Don't treat yourself as a normal guy. You're now in a business sense. People have approached you because either you need to find out what is the asset you have. Is it your face?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your voice? Is it your capacity for humor? Is it So once you find that out, so you know what your selling plans, isn't you?
Yes.
So two, one thing you're going to look forward to is the exclusivity you have with that brand. Because they're going to tell you, listen, you cannot engage with any other brand other than us for the next, I don't know how long. Make sure that time is very strictly stated. What is the length of our engagement? Is this an engagement of 3 months? Is it an engagement of 6 months? So you need to tell them, you need to be very clear. Listen, what you're paying me now is not in perpetuity. Perpetuity means forever and ever. Number two is, what do they want you to do? Like, what's the scope of work? Now, after that, we need to agree on something called a payment.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you going to pay me? When are you going to pay me? How frequently? And what happens if you don't? You see, okay, we're going to pay you XXX amount. You're going to, then you'd be like, okay. So that's something we call a, if I'm a lawyer and you come and you have, I'll put in your contract something called a delay fee clause.
Mm-hmm.
Because influencers are everywhere. Wanafuatana na pesa wajalipwa. Kila mahali yuko inje. And a delay fee clause is going to say, listen, this is how much you owe me at the end of, after satisfactory work is done. At the end of this, what you're going to say is, for every, say, month, you delay my payment, what you add 10% to the
the original
The original. So it's in your best interest to pay me as early as possible, because the longer we go, the more you owe. You see, so you need to create an economic incentive for you to be paid early.
You know, I'm listening to this, and I know, and we had this conversation earlier. Where, you know, creatives, they always feel like I'm gonna lose this job if I just don't. I need to agree to everything.
Yes.
So, how can you what kind of mindset do you need to be in so that you just, you're protected at all times?
The mindset is I'm the prize.
Can you always renegotiate? Because I can imagine a scenario where I've signed to this contract right now and it's in perpetuity.
Yeah.
I took a little money.
Yeah.
And then 2-3 years down the line, I become really big. I become world famous.
Yes.
You guys still have the rights to use my likeness for your product, and you didn't pay me as much.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that?
You either buy yourself out of that contract, or you can renegotiate per se. But what if I'm the other guy? Why is it my best interest to give you more money?
Mm-hmm.
Then renegotiate from a place of value, saying, okay, now what I want us to do is I'm going to do this a bit more and more. I'm going to add this, then we can renegotiate the contract. But honestly, as I'd never sign anything that uses your images in perpetuity. Unless you think the money is good, or it's not a good idea.
Is there any type of legal exposures that these guys they can find themselves in, especially when they start dealing with brands?
Yeah. What matter the thing that when someone is using they need to make it very clear that you they are a parody of you.
Mm-hmm.
The moral right of identifying yourself is yours. No one can take that from you. If someone who looks like you starts going around, as long as they make it very clear that they are not you, they're just doing a... If Walter Mongare walked around acting like Moi, he would not go and sign contracts on behalf of... on behalf of... He would not take us to war with Somalia.
Yeah.
So the thing is, parodies will always happen and fair use will always happen. But like the guy who pretends to be Ruga.
Yes, yes.
But
Yeah.
If he starts making money properly and by lying that he's Ruga, now is a problem. When Ruga was interviewed about him, he said, as long as it's my songs he's singing, the streaming is going my way. Because Ruga doesn't want to be paid small money by the campus, MMU, Apas, Jita, Nini. But him is saying, as long as you don't say you or me, as long as people understand you're the fake Ruga, I'm good with that.
So you can actually use the term fake somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. How many times do people call me the fake Ali Hassan Joho, right?
So if I... now I see it.
Yeah. like Hassan Joro. So...
There's actually someone who does Rigiji impression.
Yeah.
So if that guy decides now to do unga, or a soda, advert, using that impression, then now he's exposed.
As long as we are making it very clear that what I'm doing, I'm not Rigiji. I'm just thinking of what Rigiji would do in this situation. You see. But I'm not coming and saying, "Hi, I'm Rigiji, and I endorse this project." It's just I'm just making fun of that situation.
All right. So now, just talking about intellectual property, how well do you feel that Kenya has gone in terms of actually enforcing the laws around intellectual property and actually even protecting creatives' rights?
Around other like patents for like IT guys, for agricultural seeds, we are still having those battles in court. But not for creatives specifically. Good cases that have come out so far, guys have gone to court now, and some guys can tell we are serious. The cases you don't make it to court, that just end up at the Copyright Authority Tribunal, those ones tunasema here and here, and we finish, right? So, but there are others where you sit down and decide, yo, listen, we are going to court.
In terms of copyrights,
yeah.
Apart from just names,
yeah.
We have designers.
Yeah,
we have people in the creative world, people who design things, people who mold, sculpt.
Yeah.
So, How can you go ahead in terms of copywriting some of this material?
So, you see, you can't copyright how you sculpt, mm-hmm. but you can copyright the sculpting, the sculpt itself, right?
Yes.
You can't copyright your designer, that you're a designer, but you can copyright the design work.
Yes.
That design, that the end finished, the end product of the thing you painted, the thing, that's what I'm going to copyright, that no one can use that.
I'm gonna give you an example. Mm. There's this shirt. It's not a shirt. It's a jumper. It's called Snoody.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about it.
I've heard of a Snoody.
The ones that are Africanized. Yeah, it's just a normal jumper, but has some African patterns and all that.
Yeah.
So, for the person who created that, the first person that created that, how can they? Is it patent? Not a patent. It's a copyright, isn't it?
It's not. Would say it's more of a design. Of a design. It's a larger design, but that one, ideally you have to register those things. Mm-hmm. If you don't register, you have to prove you are the first one to come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
When Louis Vuitton were using the Maasai Shuka, like a lot of African wear is being taken up by the West, mm-hmm. and being sold back to people in a very. So the thing is now, who owns it? You see.
Mm-hmm.
The Maasai people did not come together and say, "This is we copyright this sugar as ours," or the lions in the Maasai Mara, whatever it is. But so, for designers, especially what Wanguo, fashion designers, if you have a very unique, and you can show that this is a very unique way of doing clothes and has not been done before and can be reciprocated, there's a way of registering it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fashion is registerable.
So what is the process? How do you apply for a copyright?
This one you go to Kenya Copyright Board. They have a website, and there you'll fill in a form, you'll take pictures, and then they'll tell whether it's eligible for copyright, and then you'll just move ahead with the process.
How long is the process?
3 months at best. A month, 3 months. Yeah. And once you started, as long as you started the process,
it's protected.
People can go back and we can say, but to Leander, like, no, but the process had already started. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So if it's shown that this is an idea that's the expression of the idea is copyrightable, then yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For music and for other creators, there's this thing called CMOs. It's called the Collective Management Organizations.
Yes.
You have the PRISCs,
MCSK,
and all that. So, how well do you think they work in terms of protecting musicians' rights and all that?
On a legal level, they should work really well. But the problem I think people have with them, for artists I've spoken to, is how the remuneration is done at the end of the, you see, because you see what the CMO does for you, it tells you,
mm-hmm.
you can't go everywhere at every business shop saying at mnacheza wimbo yangu, every radio here saying you mnacheza wimbo yangu, telling you, let's do that for you,
mm-hmm.
and then we pay you royalties at the end, you see. But the thing is, people don't, the calculation is what that is lacking transparency. We have MCSK, that's for performance, no, not that's for actual songwriters and basically the person who wants a master's gets paid, right? If they're a member. That's another thing. If your music is being played, they'll collect, but they won't pay you if you're not a member.
Okay. So you have to, first of all, you have to register with them,
you
isn't
have to be a member of
and all your songs will be protected.
Yeah. Once you register, now you have you're given a number.
So you don't have to, like, every time you release a song, you have to go and tell them.
No, when you register with them, they'll give you the guidelines. They have guidelines that change every single time.
So now, in terms of YouTube, because you are also a YouTube creator, there's always this problem when, in terms of the person who published the video first.
Yes.
And we've seen partnerships where someone says they own the YouTube channel, and someone else says they own the creative work.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that?
Wow, that's a very interesting. First thing first, what is protected is not your song per se. It's the video itself. If I take a video of us here, or you take a video of me and upload it, I don't own it. It's my face, it's my words, but the video is yours.
Okay.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
If there's, like, so now me, I'll be suing for image, for what, for you. But the video is, have you seen this girl called the Hawk Tour girl?
Yes, yes, yes.
The Hawk Tour girl has sued the guy who did the video. Because he owns the video.
Okay.
Yeah. She's saying now she's using her likeness to profit. You see?
Wow.
You see, because she's the famous one. So the
yes.
The guy had gone to say, "You just acknowledge me. I'm the one who the guy was interviewing her."
Yes.
So she sued the guy who interviewed her. Turns out that video does not belong to the guy who interviewed her. Rather, it belongs to the guy whose camera it was. So you see, what's being brought, it's the video that you're after.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens with that is often with YouTube, is they have their own copyright guidelines, but it's often if I show to YouTube that this expression of this song is the one, is mine, then YouTube can now take that down if they're using either music from me that had been registered before or that is going to be. The problem is if I go to a concert and record you like this, that's mine.
so now, in this case, like the case of the Hack Tour girl, this person actually had consent from the person that they recorded.
Yeah.
They asked them, I'm doing a recording right now, and could you be interested to just talk to me?
Yeah.
They recorded it.
Yeah.
He published it.
Mm.
The girl became famous.
Yes.
So he goes back, she goes back to this guy and tells him that you need to take down my that video.
Or you need to give it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I need the original copy of that video. I need to take it down everywhere and it's going to be accessed to my channel.
Is there any way you can actually protect yourself from that?
As who now? As the Hack Tour girl?
No, actually the initial creator.
So that's why it's very careful. You see, in Canada you've seen guys who just come and start talking to you.
Yes.
Sindio, there's this guy.
Even Media House,
we do
that a lot.
Yeah, but media, you have those ethics for... You know, media guys are a bit trained for, if I'm going to use this, they come and tell you, hi, I'm going to use this. My name is Nani, I'm from Nani, and I'm going to use this and I'm going to put it out there.
Yes.
Media houses are generally a bit more professional because they know the stakes are a bit higher.
Yes.
The problem we have is guys who are now profiting.
Content creators. TikTok.
Content creators who are profiting from off your content, right?
Yes.
So now you can sue them, but you can't sue them for the video.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sue them for ownership of the video.
Mm-hmm.
That copyright is not yours. What you can sue them is making money from your likeness. Making money from your voice, making money from your idea, whatever it is. I don't know, we can talk about. But that is if you can show they are profiting off it, you see. But when they came to you and you saw a camera and you willingly talked to the camera, now it's a bit blurry. So that's why lawyers come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but for protective lawyering, if you're a content creator interviewing people out there, please make it very clear what you're going to do for them. Hi, my name is ta-ta-ta-ta. Do you consent to be recorded, right? If you consent to be recorded, then you're in a good place.
Now, if you consent, because just talking about that, because we've seen a lot of TikTok, is it pranksters?
Yeah.
There are some pranks that you actually would consider safe,
yeah.
And there are pranks that you'd consider a bit too intrusive. So in terms of exposure, these pranksters, what kind of legal exposure are they exposed to?
They're exposing themselves to a lot. First of all, that's beyond the realm of just copyright law.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are edging to the realm of criminal.
Okay.
Yeah. Defamation, or I feel like you embarrass me, or using the Communications Act has something about how we use... our internet and if you're using it to defame, to that can, now you're verging on the verge of criminal.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, your pranks is the camera does not protect you. We're talking copyright. Now you're scaring people for entertainment.
Yes.
So if someone gets hurt
mm-hmm.
on the way, or if someone exposes things that you don't have exposed, if they suffer any loss, if they can show to the court that they suffered a loss because of this, either an embarrassing one, then there'll be damages accruing to that affair. So pranksters really. Place themselves in a very tricky situation.
So, like, is there a way for pranksters to actually protect themselves?
If they would show that they did not put you in any physical danger?
There's this pranks that I see.
Yeah.
It's actually people get injured.
Yeah.
And they usually place things
in an
open place.
Yeah.
And they let someone try and steal it.
Yeah.
So, if someone comes and tries to steal that object and then they get hurt and you film it, can they still sue you
because we're trying to steal? Wait, it is it like where they have like a
bike, let's say there's a bike and it's attached to a rope, so when you start cycling the you try to run with it, you eventually just it's caught by
you'd
the
have to have it. You'd have to have a very good lawyer who is going to say that nilienda kuiba kwa mtu fulani alafu nikaumia. You know?
So if
that has not happened yet, but I would like to see how the courts would deal with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because there have been places where in the US where guys have, someone was trying to walk across your roof. then akaanguka kadungwa na kisu chini, umeka viso vibaya kwa kitchen yako, and became a negligence issue. But that's very unlikely, because now here, if you the law cannot protect you when you're in your pursuit of committing a crime, you see, and then something less. If what has happened is a result of your own actions, you have a very hard time proving to the court that you deserve damages. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I think I was saving the best for last. Now I want us just to talk about Kidogo. Yeah. Just tell me about more about comedy, because you are a comedian.
Yeah.
Just want to know about more of about your work.
I'm a stand-up comedian, and that means although my comedy will not be on the internet, I don't have to yell cut. I have to be funny in real life. I work in the hardest place to copyright laws, to copyright ideas, because jokes are, even I can just change the wording of a joke and the joke is the same, but I can be protected with copyright after that. But I really enjoy what I do. I've performed in Uganda, Tanzania, South Africa, Kenya, and I've really gotten to enjoy the work that I do.
So how is experience? Because stand-up comedy is a bit different. You get feedback immediately there and there.
Yeah. That's the beauty of stand-up is I don't have to ask you, how did I do? Mm-hmm. Bro, you know what you did. You were there.
Yeah.
We watched you. And I think stand-up comedy is good because it's the purest form of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
All other branches of comedy come from stand-up. Stand-up is the purest, it's the hardest form. So once you choose it, first of all, you know you won't be popular immediately. It's a long, hard road. If you want to be popular immediately, go make people laugh on the internet with sketches. And the guys who are doing brilliant sketches on the internet, I think guys can follow suit.
Even Crazy Kana?
Crazy Kana is doing amazing on the internet. Austin, Flacco was... So there's that kind of comedy.
Yeah.
And it's easily accessible. But stand-up comedy is letting people to go and experience comedy for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As a group, come, let's laugh together.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen even Kenai is trying to have his own shows.
Yes, yes.
Because you realize laughter is best served when we are together. When we laugh together at a joke, it's so much funnier than when I watch a special at home.
So in terms of the kind of comedy that you do, because I've seen it, Israel is in English.
Yeah.
Do you think Kenyans are a tough crowd?
Kenyans have one of the highest literacy levels in the world, right? So this whole issue of our comedy is bourgeoisie is because it's meant to take us down. Like, but also it's because we are used to laughing at comedy where the comedian is the clown.
And do you think it's growing? Because I actually have seen from just looking at Instagram, I see a lot of stand-up nightclubs.
Yeah.
Do you think it's actually growing there?
That's the way it's supposed to grow. You're not supposed to appear on TV, and then you're supposed to start out in dingy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I see you on TV, you are so good because you've been doing this for years and years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about TMI? Do you expect to see it anytime
soon? TMI, I think we are doing something similar called the Other News, but we are trying to see how that goes. It could. There are talks ongoing, but let me not promise anything as of now. But let me just say things are looking promising.
All right, as a parting shot
to
creatives out there, what advice would you just give them if you are to meet someone who's starting out, who wants to create anything, either if it could be design, could be music, could be even content creation, what advice would you give them?
Your first couple of works will be terrible, and that's okay. You could get a good one immediately, but still the next couple will not be too good. Allow yourself to be bad as you get good. Enjoy the creation. If you only enjoy the result, it's going to hurt you so bad. So every creative, I tell you, you're not in charge of the result. You're only in charge of the input, not the result. If you can handle... So don't beat yourself up about, oh, my video didn't make as much views. You're only in charge of the input.
And also get a lawyer.
Yeah. If you come to me before you go to court, I'll not charge you a lot of money, to be honest. To draft a contract, that's not a lot of money. And you'll be happy that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be happy if you're going to court, you have something to back you up. In the beginning, don't wait for things to go bad to call a lawyer. Yeah.
Should you always get a lawyer to draft a contract, or can you just copy something from the internet? ChatGPT?
ChatGPT could be good, but the beauty with lawyers, a lawyer will tell you, okay, this does not apply in Kenya. This applies in Kenya. This does not. You see, there are things that a lawyer will help you see because they know that they understand the law, right?
Okay.
You can just, even if ChatGPT, if a lawyer makes a contract with ChatGPT, it's better than when you make it because they understand the prompts they have to give the the contract. Oh, make sure it has a clause on this, make sure it has this clause, make sure it has this clause. So it's quite the risk. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's a wrap for today's episode of The Creative Hustle.
Yeah.
A big thank you to Anthony,
Thank
TY.
You very much.
TY, or is it Ty?
It's Ty.
Thank you for sharing such valuable insights into protecting your creative work and navigating through contracts. We hope that you found this this episode helpful as you continue your creative journey. Thank you for listening.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.